Commissioner's Court for Monday, February 23rd, 2026 at 9 a.m. begins here.
All righty, we're going to go ahead and get started. It's 9 o'clock. This is the meeting in Franklin County Commissioner's Court, an open meeting on the 22nd day of February, 2026. It's still sort of special meeting. It's not really a special meeting. It's a regular meeting. 9 a.m. here in the courthouse in Mount Vernon, Texas. We'll start with the invocation. Scott, you lead us in word, would you?
Father, we come to you in prayer this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the day, for all the many blessings God has given us, Lord. We thank you once again, Lord, to you for showing us your favor, Lord, where we live and the state we live in, this county, and our country, Lord. We just pray for your blessings upon all of it, dear Lord God. Pray that you watch over us, Lord, and protect us. Protect us from evil and danger. Lord, I pray that you help us to look after one another, take care of our neighbors and our friends. Pray that you bless us this morning on this court. Lord God, give us wisdom and understanding, all the stuff we consider. Help us make the right choices and decisions for our county. And we just pray that you be honored in everything that's said, done, and thought of. We ask it all in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Let's do our Pledge of Allegiance. U.S. flag first.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Texas flag.
Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the United States, one state under God, one and indivisible.
Thank you. All righty, we do have a place for public comments. And if you're here for the public hearing on number 10, that we'll open it up to the floor. Then also, does anybody have anything different besides the sewers proposed? On-site sewage facility. Yeah, we're going to get to it. We'll get to that. Is that what you want to talk about, is the sewage? Number 10?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we'll just wait till that. It'll be a public hearing. We'll open it. Yes, Mary.
It's somewhat related, somewhat not, but I would ask that the county continue a discussion about waste material and expand it to industrial waste in the county before it raises its head. And we're trying to catch up, like on the 17 acres down here, to have something in place to prevent cave or the door industrial waste spreading.
Yeah.
Beyond agricultural use.
Yes. And we are, as far as what we can. I think the state kind of overrode us on that, but. Okay.
But if you had something in place prior, perhaps they wouldn't have been able to if you had an ordinance prior.
Well, we can't do ordinances in the county. Cities can, but counties can't. Anyway. All right, anybody else?
Yes.
Yes.
I would like to talk about the taxes at Pelican Bay.
Okay.
Through the tax office.
Yeah, I'll give you about 3 minutes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you held your hand up.
No. You can.
I've never done
this. We usually give 3 minutes.
I want to give you a copy, each one of you, a copy of what I sent to the lady at Jill. Let's see, her name is Mayor and Tyler. About the outstanding taxes there.
Uh-huh.
And if you'll notice, this is the email I sent to her.
Mm-hmm. I have, what is your name?
Sherry Margaret.
Okay, thank you.
And I'm representing the board of Pelican Bay. Okay. So for the last 2 or 3 years, if you'll look underneath the letter to her, I've got every person's name just in a 3 mile radius that mm-hmm. owes taxes. And it totals up to $250,000. And they have not done anything about it for several years. I've tried to talk to her. And the lady that was before Jill, and she retired, she would work with us and try to get, we would work with her on those vacant lots and everything. Well, she won't even respond to my emails or anything. I emailed her this the other day, on January the 28th, and I never got a response. So that right there, it's got the name and the description of the land on everyone that owes tax. And I only put down the taxes that were owed, and I, if you notice, I put the date, how long they've been, and it's 5 to 30 years that those haven't been processed for no taxes.
One lady owns a little over $100,000. Herself.
But she's got a lot, and they're all vacant lots and stuff out there. And we, the board, as the board, we can't, it's hard for us to try to do a lien on it and try to sell it because the taxes are jacked up so much now because it's went on for so long. We can't get people to give it back to us, or we couldn't afford to take it over because it's not worth what the taxes are on it. And I noticed in 2007, when I started looking at this, the taxes on each lot was $35, okay?
I think this is going to come under the appraisal district more than us, because the school actually has more. Help me out, Melissa, on this. There's probably nothing we can, the commissioner's court.
I know that they've been in contact with Jill. I mean, and I'm not kind of bad mouth, but it's hard to get communication out of Jill right now. I can reach out to Wade or Richard, and if she'll give me a copy of that, the delinquent attorney theirself, and see.
Yeah, the school actually, believe it or not, we are number two as far as
the school is.
The school's got 62% of the vote and everything, so
yeah.
It really doesn't have anything to do with us. I know it says Franklin County Appraisal District has nothing to do with us whatsoever.
Oh, okay.
It's through the comptroller's office, and it's through that, and they're the ones that set it and everything. All we really do, excuse me, at the end of the day, is approve their budget at the appraisal office.
Yeah.
But we don't have any power whatsoever over any of this.
Over the
and I know
tax.
And I know it's confusing, believe me.
And, I mean,
it's confusing me also, after 11 years being county judge.
Is this appraisals or delinquent taxes?
That's delinquent
yeah.
taxes.
Okay. It's gonna be what's the oldest year on that? Or even the earliest year on that, probably 2024?
No,
it goes back.
83, 2007.
To what?
It was 2002, last year paid on one of them.
Yeah. One of them goes back to 80 something.
Yeah.
Well, there's not a whole lot we can do this morning because it's not on the agenda.
But there's a bunch. She owes 100,000, but there's a bunch more than 150,000. And when we came to the tax office and asked them what they had done about it, I was told that the land has to be worth $2,500. That's not correct. Because I looked at the state law on that, and that only pertains to equipment, not land.
Okay.
Well, let me say this. Get with Melissa.
Yeah. Okay.
If there's something that we need to put on the agenda, that way we can actually talk to you about it.
Okay.
Because it's, you get 3 minutes and then we move on. But Melissa can probably help you with that and contact some people.
Okay.
Above that. Because Jill only works for these people. She's just an employee. Everything that comes down.
Yeah.
This brings it to y'all's attention, though.
Do I know?
This
oh, okay. Yeah.
I mean, like, for three, 4 years. We've been trying to, she took over. She would not, she comes down here every Wednesday and she won't even talk to us. I'll go to the office and try to talk to her and she won't talk to me. So,
we just approved them to be our attorneys.
That's why we're paying if they're doing that.
Yeah, and we had to have somebody, so
yeah.
They just got, they were low bid, so.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, get with Melissa and get her a copy of this, and we'll contact Richard.
I'll contact Wade and Richard when I get back to the office and let them know that this was spoken in court. Let me get the attorney.
Okay.
Bye.
Attorney.
Thank you.
Okay.
And there's a couple more things I want to talk to you about. I'll talk to you later on. Okay.
Because that'll give us time to kind of look over it too, and everything, because this has kind of been to us. So, yeah. Well, thank y'all.
You're welcome.
All right. Anybody else? All right. Let's go to agenda item number one, consider and take action to approve minutes from February the 9th, 2026 regular session, and February 13th, 2026 special session.
So moved.
Second. So, got a motion to second, any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the ayes have it. Number two, audit claims against the county and authorize their payment. Chance, you are the man today.
The amount submitted for your approval is $389,908.03.
Okay, anybody got any questions over there?
Are you sure that's right?
That's right.
And that just up with the number I have, thank you. I know the place we pay the claim for, claim against the county.
Okay, got a motion and a second. Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the ayes have it. Number three, monthly reports, you got that?
Got it. For January 2026, the constable was $100. Tax assessor, $14,524.34. Property taxes was $3,326,444.78. County clerk, $18,990.59. District clerk, $7,221.50. Justice of Peace, $20,373.81. The Sheriff's Office Commissary, $8,976. Library, $584.45. And we earned interest at a rate of 3.61%. And it was $29,343.85.
Okay. Anybody have any questions over that?
I move to approve the monthly report.
Second. Okay, got a motion to second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the ayes have it. Number four, record certificate of completion for the 2026 tax cyber security training for Jessica Esparza, Shanice Hall, Chris Van Art, Clint Bain, Marie Reeder, Brooke Sell, Randall Cortinas, Teal Marquez, Randall Lane, Janet White, Melissa McSwain, Bobby Mann, Ellen Jaggers, Chris Allen, Brandon Carr, Michelle Maynard, Talisa Newman, Christy Gonzalez, and Chance Crane, and mine will be on the next one. I got
wow. It. Wow.
Yeah. You made 110. I made 110 on it.
Me too.
I didn't know you went over 100.
I didn't either.
That is so recorded. Let's go to number five. Consider and take action to approve submission of the grant application for the handheld radio upgrade project. Is Robert here today? Do we have the sheriff's office here?
Move the table there.
It's just a submission for grant application. So
do we have the submission?
Yeah, we've got it.
Yes, I got it right here. You may read it. It's actually a. This is a fiscal year 2027 rifle handheld radio upgrade project where the Franklin County Commissioner Court finds the best interest of the citizens of Franklin County that the handheld radio upgrade project will be operated in the 2027 fiscal year. And whereas Franklin County Commissioner's Court agrees to provide applicable matching funds for said project as required by the handheld radio upgrade project grant application. And whereas Franklin County Commissioner's Court agrees in events of loss and misuse of the Office of the Governor's Fund, Franklin County Commissioner's Court assures the funds will be returned to the Office of Governor's of the Governor in full. Whereas Franklin County Commissioner's Court designate County Judge Scott Lee as the grantee authorized official. The authorized official is given the power to apply for, accept, reject, alter, or terminate the grant on behalf of the applicant agency. Now, therefore, be resolved, Franklin County Commissioner's Court to approve submission of the grant application for the handheld radio upgrade project to the Office of the Governor. Signed this day.
Judge, I would say we don't have the one with the map. Do we have any idea what the matching funds would be?
There is no matching funds on these. It's all 100%, but
it
doesn't. A lot of times it depends on how
many
apply for it.
Okay. Yeah, this is just mainly to approve the apply for it.
Okay.
Okay, that's a different one. So. All right, what's your pleasure?
Well, that's what I was asking. What is the cost?
That's what I said. We don't know. All we know.
So this is just the application.
Just the application.
I move that we approve the application.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. Got motion.
Sorry.
That's all right. Motion and a second. Is there any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The ayes have it. 23rd.
Yes, sir.
Number six, record an order, record the order of general school trustee election for Mount Vernon ISD. And we do have that here. And that'll be Monday, starting 4:20 through Tuesday, 4:28. Well, there he is. Speaking of, would you like a question? We're going to back up one since you just walked in.
Okay.
Tell us a little bit about the handheld radios. There's not a matching fund. It's 100%, correct?
Yes, sir. It's 100% grant. It's for $30,805 for 5 handheld radios.
Okay. And that comes out of governor's grant, correct?
Yes, sir.
Anybody have questions about that?
3805.
And some change, I believe. Yeah, $30,807.40.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
All
right.
I don't think
you
even knew yet.
We are
approved. Thanks, Robert.
Number six, we did the order of general school trustee election for Mount Vernon. Like I said, starts on 4:20, 26, and ends 4:28, 26. And
what is the actual election?
The actual election will be
May. I'm sorry. The election hereby ordered to be held on May 2nd, 2020 for the purpose of to elect 3 school trustees for a 3-year term, and beginning on April 20th, Franklin County Annex, I guess this is early voting,
yes.
Beginning April 2026, and then on April 28th, 2026 during the time. So that is reported. Number 7 is record the contract of for election services for the city of Mount Vernon. And
it'll be the same dates.
Yes, it'll be the same days as the school board. Same as that thing. So it says to record, but they need my signature. So wouldn't we need a motion?
Yeah, so we'd have to put that on a new.
Yeah,
acknowledged by. It just said acknowledged, so I don't guess we do. I think it's just recording and I'll just sign it, correct?
If you're acknowledging it, really you don't even have to sign it. It's only even harder than
yes, that's exactly
itself,
right.
An entity that's holding the school.
Yes. So
could one of the commissioners make a friendly amendment to approve it?
We can on both of them, I guess.
Yeah,
that's okay. For the school.
Under Robert Schull's order, I think you can.
Okay. Let's go ahead and vote on 6 and 7 and do the amendment to.
6 is just the order of election.
Yes, that's right. And the contract, because it
is
a contract.
The
I see. Yes. So this is an actual contract. We would have signed. So.
We need a motion to approve the contract for election service for City of Mount Vernon.
Yes.
I'll make that motion.
Okay.
I'll
second it. Okay, got a motion and a second. Any more discussion? All in favor say aye. And all opposed, the ayes have it. Okay, number 8.
No.
No. Number 8, record the order of election for May 2nd, 2026, Mount Vernon City Council election. And that's the one we're going to have to do. That is recorded.
Yeah.
Number 9, consider and take action to approve renewal of ACA reporting and tracking services ARCS through TAC Health and Employment Benefits Pool. Do you have anything about that?
It's just that we do it every year. It's at no cost to us because we're part of the TAC HEPD program, so no cost as long as we meet the deadline. And it's just where we upload our information and they do the reporting for us to the IRS.
Okay. Anybody have any questions over that? We have a motion to approve that.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, got a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Yeah, okay, number 10. discuss and conduct a public hearing on the adoption of proposed rules related to on-site sewage facility with Franklin County, 3 minutes per person, and we'll start this at 9:20 a.m. And we are open, where's Matt?
There you go.
You want to kind of discuss about this before we get started on it?
Well, I can read what we're going to try to propose, or you want to...
Yes, yeah, kind of explain what's going on. Now, you're fine out there.
The last time that these rules were looked at was in 2003. There's been a lot of law changes, a lot of different stuff that's going on. There's one, two, three, four, five, there's six little adjustments I'd like to have amended and put in there. Number one is an application permit or inspection are required for construction, alteration, extension, or repair of any OSSF, regardless of the size of tract of land. Now this gets rid of the 10-acre rule. And the reason that I'm doing that is because we've got people that'll build a single family home on more than 10 acres, and then they build another home and another home, or they build a commercial enterprise, and you only get the exemption on your first one single family home. And so it's misunderstood. And people, once they're caught, and I've got several that I've talked to that have built more than they were supposed to, and it's on down in here, but I'm going to tell you that first. We don't tell you what kind of septic system to put on your properties. The earth tells you that. So depending on what kind of dirt you're going to build on, depends on what kind of septic system you can put in there. If you've got more of a sandy loam or some sandy type that can do an underground absorption, and you have that drain field big enough and keep grass over the top of it and everything, then it works. If you have clay doesn't absorb, and what it does, it runs to the top, runs off, so you have to have an aerobic system. Well, not really aerobic, you have to have a surface discharge in a certain area, and then that has to, that gets absorbed with the grass and things that's on top of it. So, in order for you to put whatever kind of system in there, depends on what kind of dirt that you're putting it in. And unfortunately, people that have more than 10 acres, sometimes they don't understand what they're building. They believe you just put a couple of tanks in the ground, put some lateral lines out there, and it goes from there. And it runs off. So every one of these rules, to back up just to start with, is to look at 8, 10, 15 years down the road, where we're not poisoning our water table that we're drinking, that we're not running that litter, that effluent off on somebody else's property in our creeks and in our streams and in our lakes. So we're looking at preventative to start with and not reactive when it's done. So the 10-acre rule, that's my justification, is that it's misunderstood. The first sentence on there says you may be exempt, and that's as far as people read. I'm exempt, I got more than 10 acres. So we want to say you have to have a permit. Now, the permit, what that does is that ensures that you're putting the right kind of system into the ground and you don't have trouble down the line. The second one is for maintenance. Maintenance of all OSSF identified in 30 Texas Administration Code 285.91, little parentheses 2, shall be performed by a TCEQ registered maintenance technician or a licensed maintenance provider, unless the homeowner is at least a registered maintenance technician or the homeowner passes a basic homeowner maintenance course approved by Franklin County. Now, my justification for that is you build your house, you put your septic system in, it starts leaking, and you go, oh, well, it's just leaking, I'm not going to spend the money. So people just let it run. And they just, the same thing as the other part, they just don't maintenance it, and nobody knows till it creates a problem. So, and then what's approved, Brent and I have both been to several different classes on homeowner stuff on how to test it. So I'm not going to say this one's good and that one's bad. If you take some kind of a course that tells you how to maintenance that, where you know what you're looking at, I'm good with that. I'm good with that, that's fine. All I want to do is protect the water table and the property and our water system. Number C, all platted or unplatted subdivisions of residential structures created after the effective date of this order and using OSSF shall have lots of at least 1 acre of usable area. Usable area excludes water features, easements with minimum required separation distance in 30 TAC 285.9110 and any slopes where seepages may occur. Now this 1 acre, I've got tons and tons of phone calls. I've seen all kind of stuff on Facebook. If you already own property, it's not going to affect you. We're moving forward. And I'd like for you to have at least 1 acre so that whatever you build, example, you got a half acre lot. You want to build a 3,500 square foot house on it. Okay? That's not a problem. Your septic system will fit and everything goes along. Well, 2 years down the road, you want to build a swimming pool, or you want to build a shop, or you want to build something else. You may or may not have room for that, depending on what kind of system that you have. So we want to up that to at least 1 acre, so you will have plenty of room for expansion if you want to expand, or, you know, you just don't have to be told no. I mean, it just won't fit. You hadn't solved everything. Now, each permit will be looked at individually. I'm not saying if you have less than 1 acre, you can't build something on it. But we're going to look at what you want to build, and we're going to talk about what you have in the future plans and what you're going for. So, just because we want 1 acre doesn't mean that's an absolute. You have to have it. But we're going to start with that because that's in your best interest and best interest of the county. On the day upon completion, all habitable instructions must be connected to either a central wastewater treatment sanitary sewer system or a permitted OSSF. There again, we've had people in the past, and I'm finding more and more when I get calls on where they put in the wrong system. So by having your system permitted, we talk about it first. You make sure you have the right kind of system to put in, and it's connected, and it's not just running out of a trailer house out on the ground somewhere. And that's, I got several of those right now that we're working on. Maintenance reports. Maintenance reports goes along with the same thing. I just want to see that you're maintaining it. I want to know that you're looking at it and not just letting it run on the ground for 8 or 10 years and get that done. It's not hard. You do it every 3 or 4 months. Just check it, send a little thing to us, we'll put it in your file, and you know that your system's working. That's not that hard. All surface applications systems installed on 1 acre or less of usable area shall be controlled by irrigation timers set to spray between midnight and 5 a.m. That's not hard either. All that does is it helps protect your neighbors. If they have a pet or if their children are outside playing, and I know that I had to change mine. I built mine 30 years ago, way before we started doing, Texas started looking at stuff and regulating it. I'd be out mowing my yard. Next thing I know, I'm getting sprayed. So I changed mine to where mine will do at night, after midnight and 5 in the morning. That way, somebody's pet doesn't run through it, somebody's child doesn't play in it. You don't get sprayed while you're mowing your yard, working outside. So just have those timers set. Now, if you're on 25 acres, I mean, you can do kind of what you want to do. I mean, if you want to take that. But smaller areas, especially in developments where you got houses right next to each other, that I'd like for them to see to go at least to midnight to 5 in the morning. That's all I'm changing. That's all I ask for. I could have went a whole lot deeper. I really could, but I felt like this was the minimum to protect our water table, to protect our neighbors, and not spread disease or anything else. So I've done about 2 years worth of research since I've been in this job. I've relied on other people around. This is not hardly any different at all than almost every other county in Texas. We were some of the last few counties that hadn't done away with the 10-acre rule, but simply because it's not understood. And people just claim it. Oh, well, I didn't know. Well, some of them, I'm pretty sure they did know, but now they're caught, they claim they didn't know. So that's my proposal, and that was why I wanted to do it that way. So, questions?
Real quick, before anybody starts talking, if you're gonna speak, if you will please say your name before you speak, just so I can accurately report for the minutes.
Yeah.
You can just sit right there, that's fine.
Okay, I'll start with the problem I had.
Say your name so we can record.
Yeah, I'll read it, I've had to.
Oh, okay.
So, my name is Abby Tremester, and my brother and I are developing a multifamily residential project here in Franklin County. And we submitted an engineer septic design in compliance with TCEQAC Chapter 285. And I will briefly clarify the legal framework. The counties do not have independent septic regulatory authority. On-site storage facilities are governed by Texas Health and Safety Code Chapter 366 and implemented through Chapter 285 by TCEQ. Counties act only as delegated agents of TCEQ. Now, under 285.10, a county may adopt more stringent local standards only if they are formally adopted by the court and approved by TCEQ peer review enforcement. If the Franklin County has such approved order as of February 22, 2026, I respect the request that be cited. Absent that, the enforceable standards are the state rule in Chapter 285. Our system was designed by a licensed professional engineer. The county has staged this project for under 285.4A1, which applies to standard single home lots. However, multifamily developments are properly evaluated under 285.4A2, which governs the engineered system and allowed set specific designs and alternative methods. And this tension directly affects how spread fields, density, and loading rates are evaluated. The verbal denial refers public health concern, too many spread heads, and possible too many people staying at one house. I fully support protecting public health. However, if this design violates public health, I respectfully request citation to the specific statute or rule under Chapter 366 or Chapter 285 that supports the determination. Permitting decision must be based on written law, not interpretation, preference, or assumptions. Clear citation protects both property owners and the county. I also understand new regulations may be considered. I respectfully encourage the court to ensure commissioners receive proper education and the training on TCEQ OSSAF regulations and the limits of the county authority before adopting or enforcing new subject rules. A clear understanding of Chapter 366 and Chapter 285 is essential to avoid unintended legal exposure. Additionally, under Texas Local Government Code Chapter 245, my project is vested to the regulation in effect at that time of the application. Accordingly, I respectfully request a written decision citing the specific statute, rule, or regulation and the confirmation that enforcement aligns strictly with Chapter 366 and Chapter 285. Thank you.
Elliot, I'm going to have to refer to Max over any of that. Did you hear me? Because, man, that's just way out of our league on this. That's the reason we sent him to school and everything else to learn it.
I mean, I agree, but the problem is we can't, everybody has their own, you know, decision on the rule and regulations.
Sure.
My problem is when I call the commissioners, nobody can give me any answer.
Sure.
Everybody
refers to really, that's really we hired him.
I understand, but the deal is, what if anybody in the county calls your commissioner and says, hey, you know, can you tell me about this, but nobody knows it. And I mean, of course, Max is licensed or whatever, but also I feel like the commissioners need to get more education as well. It's very simple. It's 3-day course. You can go take it And
you know how many 3-day courses we'd have to go on every topic we'd come up with? That's all we'd be is in school and everything. And I will say this, I was in law enforcement for 31 years.
Yeah.
And there's a, that book was that thick. I may have known about that much of it. But
That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
So if Max don't understand the rule, he can ask, of course, the district attorney. But at the same time, if for the...
I think that he does. He talks to our county attorney quite often about stuff.
But TCEQ has wrote these rules and regulations. It would be easier to just call TCEQ. I mean, I emailed them. They emailed me back right back second one.
I'm pretty sure he calls TCEQ.
I'll stop you right there.
Okay.
Mr. Lester and I have had several other conversations. And what he wants to build, I interpret different than what the law says.
Okay.
And so we're discussing back and forth and arguing over the design and how that it's done. And those particulars aren't really anybody else's business but ours. Commissioner Scott was in here when we were having those conversations. So his concern is over me not approving what he wants to build. And then we're ongoing. He's got some data that he's talked with TCEQ and back and forth. The problem is everybody interprets things a little different. My obligation is to the residents of Franklin County and to the people that live here. So I'm basing my decisions on what's being built. He's gave me two designs. The second design he gave me looked pretty good. I don't really have a problem with that. But we're still arguing over that part. So that's his concern, and we'll continue that. But that doesn't have anything to do with these.
Okay. All right. Anybody else?
I have.
Mike?
Go ahead. I have a lot of...
Mike Pennington.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I have a lot of customers that I go out and deal with on a daily basis, and I had run across one a couple of weeks ago that is looking at buying some land that's right beside a solar farm because the land is useless now. And that's what he's looking at doing. He is kind of works with Clayton Homes, and he buys land and splits it up and sells lots. And he's looking at half acre lots in this place, and I went out and looked at building a road right down the middle. He's gonna put housing on each side of the road. Now he's called me last week and said that's out of it's canceled because of everything that's coming up about the sewer system. And another thing I've got, we do a lot of work around the lake. Mm-hmm. They're third acre lots. Tons of them.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. What are we going to do about
it? All those lots that were already planted?
Yeah, but the thing is, people are selling these lots now. And now when a new buyer buys it, they're not grandfathered in.
The lots grandfathered in. If your lot was planted before 1988, that small lot is planted. But you still can't build outside what the regulations are.
That's what I'm saying.
Anybody wants to buy
a lot of revenue with this county, people's not going to build. They're just not going to do it.
They weren't going to build on it anyway because it's too small.
Actually, I don't want to side to side myself.
I know one of the issues that brought to me was a question I was going to have, and I think the judge alluded to it just then, is that somebody comes in and they buy, because most of the lots, at least in my neighborhood and most across the lake, are half-acre lots. Is if you got a house that's been there for 25 years, somebody comes in and says they're going to tear it down and build a new house, but then they're doing it on a half acre lot. They're not bound by this. This is all, this new regulation you're talking about is basically talking about new subdivisions that are created, correct?
Yes.
It's so
everything moving forward.
Anything that you already have there, even like, I know Ms. Lynch, you're from Tall Tree, there's lots over there. That place has already been platted. We're going to work with them and make sure that their septic system works with whatever they build, but we're not fixing that. Tell somebody that owns that, make sure I'm saying this right too, Max, is that they own a half acre lot, that for them to build a house, they're going to have to buy the lot right next door to it to make it a full acre. They're not going to have to do that because it's already been platted. This is all, we started this stuff back in the summer when we were coming up with these rules based on future subdivision rules and regulations. So those are, it's already established, it's not going to affect us. Does that make sense?
Those quarter and third acre lots, when they were platted in the early 70s, were made for a motorhome or a travel trailer temporarily to stay on it. It wasn't made to put a 2,000 square foot house on it and live on it every day. Fast forward 50 years, people are looking for places to live. They won't live in the city anymore. But I can give you two dozen that I know about this many septic systems that have failed and are running their sewer in the water out there at Lake Cypress. You want to go swimming in that? No. So my deal is, moving forward only, if your lot was already platted and it's on the books, this doesn't affect you. But you are going to have to build whatever will fit on that small lot.
Well, I know that I have actually personally been looking, and there are very few that you can buy lots side by side. Mm-hmm. Either you got to buy somebody else's house and tear it down with that lot, or just do it that way.
Mike,
well,
that's what I'm
going to
lose tax dollars.
Yeah. Mike, Jim. Yeah, Mike Ramden. Just to follow up on what I just heard, so all of these changes are going forward, including maintenance, for instance, maintenance records.
Yes.
If I've already got a septic system and I'm maintaining it myself, do I now start sending you a monthly report?
Not unless it fails and somebody calls me and then I come and visit with you, then we'd move forward on that. If you're taking care of your business, then I think that's
already in effect. Correct?
I was going to say, if you already have an aerobic system, you're already supposed to have a maintenance contract or supposed to be doing it yourself.
I do it myself.
Yeah.
But I don't need that unless it fails and something happens.
Yeah. Okay.
This is all moving forward on new stuff.
The one thing that bothers me, and I've already told Max this, we got regulations about this sewer stuff that's already been in effect. You know, we're trying to make some alterations in here, but then you got TCQ that sits there and okays them to bring raw sewage down here to 17 acres and spread it as much as they, you know, and he's going to watch it and everything else. But that just burns me to no end with the state of Texas that they'll say, okay, this is okay, but oh no, your sewer system is different. And I understand there's thousands of houses in Franklin County, and I know that we need to keep that, but that does irk me to no end. But they'll okay this, but they won't okay this, you know.
So. And that was the other thing, when we talk about that, but it's going forward. When we were doing these plans back during the summer, is we're understanding what we already have, but all the forecasted growth that's supposed to happen in East Texas in our community going forward, right now we're like year to year about 5% growth inside Franklin County. And if we keep growing, if we want to have, you know, sustainable development, that's one of the ideas we come with the 1 acre lot. We don't have this cluster of places like that. But I know the biggest issue I've been getting for the last week, since this stuff has been on the agenda, is how's it going to affect the people that are right here now? I mean, just go out talking to people these last week, and that's why I want to make sure that we're reassuring people, is that this is a plan going forward, or, you know, to have development. Because everybody talks about it, we've all heard about it. We're going to be growing, the county's going to grow, the things that could come here that affect the county. So that these new subdivisions will be created like that, rather than having just cookie cutter places and everything jammed in together, and then they become just, you know, everybody knows what it looks like, right? So.
Max, I have a question. What happens if I own a lot and my septic system fails? So I come to you and then the new regulations would apply to me, or am I still,
If you already own a home, and your system fails, then you just have to bring it up to what the code is. Whatever caused it to fail, you fix it. You don't have to buy more land. You don't have to do this or do that. You just come under the regulations, whatever the state laws are required you to do, and fix it. That's all we want. I mean, these proposed amendments are to protect us 10, 15, 20 years down the road. And I understand we want people to move to Franklin County. We want them to be happy here, but I don't want them poisoning the land and poisoning our water table that we drink. And, you know, so that's all it is. If you already have something, it's not going to affect you unless it's broke. If it's broke, you need to fix it anyway. So.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, Sherry Margaret from Pelican Bay on the board. Does that include subdivisions like the
subdivisions have their own rules? Yeah, we've got a new subdivision rule.
Oh yeah.
So this is only moving forward. The ones that are already out there, nothing's going to change.
So say, okay, I'm on the board, and say we know some members, some people have moved on property, or has lived on property, and they don't have. They just let it run out in their yard, and we're right on the lake there. So,
if you know the system that's failed, if you will contact my office and give me that address, I will go and address it.
Well, I didn't know if you would come out, because most people tell me that it has, they couldn't come out to like subdivision, like Pelican Bay, because that's private property owned. But it should have some, so I'll call you. Yeah.
Any system that you know of that's failed, that's running raw sewage out on the ground, that can run into a creek and eventually get into our water table or the lake, I will go out and address that.
Okay, good.
You know, I kind of figured this would go the other way. I figured more people would be happy to in this county, because they really are about keeping the county cleaner and under control. I didn't think there'd be very many. I can understand if you're building a bunch of houses, I can understand that and everything. If you're wanting to put, you know, 10 houses on 3 acres of land, you know, that would be a problem and everything. But I figured that it would be kind of the opposite here.
My only intent is to look forward and hope that we don't.
I hear something. I'm going to heaven.
If we're proactive now, we won't be in the same shape a lot of the developments are down around the lake that was built 30 years ago, 50 years ago. And then we're just trying to look forward and look to protect ourselves, our wildlife, and the land that we live on. That's all this is. So,
as my daddy used to say, when I was growing up, everybody just ran, they would have a septic tank. They ran out the ditch and said, like Korea, and he was in Korea. How nasty it was.
We're originally from Bowie County. Or we got a house in Bowie County too, and I plumbed for years. This is lax compared to Bowie County.
Yeah.
And the city of Austin.
But if you got a piece of land out there that's just like, say, 3/4 of an acre, and all you, I mean, when you come out there, you just say, well, this is what you can build, this is what you got to have to for that 3/4.
Yeah, there's state regulations on, if it's on clay and you have to have a surface application, you have to have X amount of feet that you spray that on. If you're on a more sandy loam type, then you have to have X amount of feet of your drain tubes that go on there. I've got several houses that I know of that people built tennis courts and pickle courts over the top of their grain fields. I mean, and mostly because they don't understand. They just say, hey, this is my land, and I got this use right here, and let's just get it on. I have landscapers that go out and they cut the sprayer heads off and cap them because somebody wanted to landscape and build a driveway. Well, there wasn't a driveway there to begin with because they didn't have enough property to spray their septic on. So it's moving forward. I'm not going back, and nobody's going to change what they have unless it's broke and we want it fixed. But just moving forward and protecting. And that's not to say that if you have something, we'll look at each and every one of them individually and let you see if that fits or not. If that's what's in the best interest of the neighborhood, the property that you're building on, and whatever. That's all I'm asking.
And Max, I'm Branton. And Clint was over in Titus County, so they know about this kind of stuff and about the laws and everything, and so does Branton. So it's not just him. It's, you know, he comes to us, and it's like he is today. That's where we're having this public hearing. So it's not just him that's looking into this. You know, we ask them a lot of questions. Am I wrong? I mean, I know that we've talked to Clint quite a few times because he did it in Titus County for years.
Right. And to Commissioner Godfrey's question about the 3/4 acre, the biggest thing about these small lots is, when did it become a small lot? When did it become 3/4 acre or a 1/2 acre or a 1/3 acre? If it became a 1/3 acre in 1963, it's going to be a 1/3 acre from now on, and we've just got to deal with it.
It's replanted.
Well, it can be combined with a lot next to it, but the biggest thing is, if you've got that long 1/3 acre lot that nobody on either side wants to sell anything, if that was platted before 1988, it's still a viable lot. Where the problem is, you can't put 12 pounds of sugar in a 10-pound sack.
That's true.
You've got to build a house and a septic system that'll fit on it. You can't build a 5,000 square foot three-story house, because that's going to fit, and then expect your septic system to fit, because it's not going to happen. So that's where you run into issues with that. At Titus County, we ran into issues with developments that were some of the last ones that came in that were half-acre lots down in the peninsulas on Lake Bob Salmon, because you have pool elevation and a flowage easement on that lake. So you don't really own everything you think you own. And they'd come in with a half acre lot and build a 5,500 square foot home with a three car garage and then try to get a septic system to fit on it. It's part of the reason why Titus County went to 1 acre lots. You run into these deals. Max has it recorded in there, 1 acre of usable property. If you've got an acre lot with a half acre pond on it, you don't have an acre lot. If you've got an acre and you've got a 60 foot wide easement to the property behind you going through it, you don't have an acre because you can't spray, you can't use that easement. And because, you know, whoever's got that property behind you, they're not going to want to have to drive through your sprinkler heads, and you're not going to want to drive it over on top of your sprinkler heads or your LPD system or your drip irrigation system. And that's what this is for, is to try to head off some of the problems that are going to be down the road.
Each one will be looked at individually. You'll come with a plan, that's what 30 TAC 285 says. Everybody will submit a plan before you start building, so we don't run into problems with you start building something and go, oh, now where am I going to put my septic? So, I mean, that's what it's for.
All right. Yes, ma'am.
I got a couple questions. I'm Chris Glenns, and I live in Tall Tree, and I'm on the ACC committee. We've got a couple permits pending right now for our swimming pools. Okay, I was not aware that we had to contact you to get a special permit for those pools.
Okay, you have to have an X amount of distance away from that pool for you. Do you have a surface discharge or is it underground?
It's aerobics.
Which is surface discharge?
It's going to be aerobic system.
Okay. Well, if it sprays, the spray has to be at least 10 foot, I believe, away, maybe 5 foot away from the swimming pool. Do you remember 10 or 5? I'd have to go back and read exactly.
I think it's actually further than that.
What you need to look at is where you're going to build, does that interfere with what you have? And do you have enough property you can move a sprinkler head and still have the same amount of spray area that you had before?
Okay, so, but do my residents have to come to you first to get a permit?
No, what you need to do is you need to have whoever designs your system, if they're going to move that, they need to look at what you have, and they can redraw what's on your permit now, and we just add that in your file.
Okay.
So I don't design systems. My job is just to go back and check their map and to look and make sure that there's enough property. I go out to make sure that there really is a half acre there or an acre or whatever, and not that you got a quarter acre lot, but you say you got a third. I just go and check that by the drawing that the engineer designs, and then we look and see. So if you're gonna add on, the first question you would wanna know is, does this change my septic system? Does this change my spray area? Most designers design their spray areas with a little bit of extra. So it could be modified, you could cut that back a little bit, but that would be the designer that does that. And then I just go and check their map. So
okay.
Do you know who put that in for you?
Well, this is just kind of, they come to us to get building permits, and I always check to see if there's a septic system permit with it.
Right.
But now, do I need to check to make sure that there's a swimming pool permit also?
Well, the only thing, if you're going to build a shop, a driveway, if you're going to change your landscaping and put in flower beds or whatever else, if you're going to build anything additional to what they have, they need to look and see if that affects their septic system first. It could be as simple as just redesigning a little bit of what you wanted, moving it here or there, doing some different stuff. But they do need to check with us with what they have on file. And if there's not one on file, then we need to kind of figure out, is it compliant, number one, and if they need to do anything to it. So a lot of permits that came from the lake that was done back in the 70s and 80s, you know, we don't have files on them. I get designers call our office all the time and say, hey, this is lot number so-and-so, do you have anything on this? And Jennifer looked, there's nothing there. You know, when was that house built? Well, 78, 81. So I wouldn't have that.
Okay. And are you going to notify the septic companies of when they come out and check to set the timers in the right positions where you want them?
Well, they're going to have these. Each installer is going to get a copy of this. As a matter of fact, most of them already have it. They've asked for it ahead of time so they can look. So this is moving forward. So moving forward, anything new, then they would already know that that's part of our local rules. And installers, they look at those local rules in every county around. They already know. We were one of the few counties that didn't have anything beyond what was done in 2003, which basically we didn't do anything. We didn't check, they didn't look. So moving forward, 23 years, then we got issues here and there. So I'm trying to prevent issues 10, 15 years down the road.
If they build your swimming pool, or they build a swimming pool, and they didn't move their sewer, and then they all of a sudden, in that beautiful new swimming pool, all of a sudden here's the sewer water just spraying all in their new, I don't think they're going to have to move that. And if they do move that, that's when they're going to have to get the new permit. Okay. And that kind of alteration.
Yeah, you don't have to get a permit to build a swimming pool.
If your
contractor says that your septic system is going to be in the way for building a new swimming pool, you probably need to contact the septic and get that square.
He's not the swimming pool guy, he's the sewer guy.
And like I said, what you want to look at is if you want to expand with what you have, you need to look and see if that's going to interfere with what area that you already have for your septic system working. I've got several that they just built next over the top. They built stuff here and there, driveways, playgrounds, all kind of different stuff. And I'm like, well, that's spraying over on the playground. Let's just cut it off and cap it. Well, what that does is that oversaturates what little bit it sprays on somewhere else, and it doesn't get absorbed, and it doesn't, for lack of a better word, purify, which is never really purified, but the ground and the grass and stuff help do that. So you oversaturate your land, and next thing you know, if it rains real hard, it's running from Brent's lot onto mine.
Kind of an example of that is Ricky Jones' development right up here by the airport, right there at 1030 and 37. There's probably about 100 lots right there. Most of those lots are back to back. So if you put a house on every one of those half-acre lots and they're spraying the backyards, you're going to have 20 lots of spray all going on at the same time. It's going to saturate that land over time. If you've got full residents, full-time out there, that's what we're trying to prevent. We want bigger lots so you've got a little bit more room to play with, and you're not just spraying everything in the size, you know, of this courthouse. So everything will evacuate and it won't oversaturate. That's kind of what we're going with as far as the acre lots instead of the half acre lots on new subdivisions. So we don't want everything crowded like Dallas subdivisions, you know, house, all right in behind and right beside each other. We want them spread out a little bit, kind of more like Long Acres, where everything's a little bit more spread out. You got room to spray your land and not saturate everything. Nothing against that development. It's going to be nice if the houses ever start rolling in. There's one house out there right now. But as soon as we get that whole thing lit up, it's going to be spraying in everybody's backyard. And if you're in that little area and everybody's spraying at the same time, you're liable to oversaturate that one little stretch in the middle where the houses are back to back. And they're not just back to back. They're kind of offset a little bit. So you got four or five of them spraying in a tight little area. So we're trying to prevent that from going forward.
The thing about cities is they got a sewer system.
Yeah, they got a sewer treatment.
We don't have that in the county, so.
Got court upstairs.
And I want to think, as for the timers isn't a new thing. It's a little bit new with how Max has tweaked these more stringent rules. But timers have been required, I believe, since 88, at least since 96. Typically, you don't spray within 20 feet of a property line. To spray within 10 feet of a property line, it has to be on a timer. That's not nothing new. And when you get into these small lots, I can guarantee you, you're spraying within 10 feet of property line. You probably got a spray head within 10 feet of property line.
Kelly, Jim, huh?
Yeah, so does this, what you're talking about, this subdivision, does this apply to multifamily RV parks or mobile home parks?
They mobile home parks, multifamily living areas, RV parks, all that kind of has its own, kind of have its own regulations.
I know that the one up Pearl Hill, they tied into the city sewer system, my understanding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I'm talking in the county.
Yeah. I have no idea.
Well, I mean, I think the where's it, the Pines down off 3122?
Yeah.
That's, I mean, they're on a septic system, but I think it's all a cluster. They all flow into one big system, like what we talked about last week.
Yeah, so I'm asking is, does that have to play into the Wanaker rule, or does that has a, like everything has to be in a cluster system, or, you know, if, you know, some guy wants to put up plenty of tiny houses on some land, does that need to go into, you know, a cluster system, or there's a rule that says, oh, you don't have to have cluster system. You can have three homes on a standard septic system. Does have, if you do that, does a three home has to be on 1 acre people to do that?
So basically what you do is you submit a plan to me, we'll talk about it, and I'll approve it or I won't. That's the way it goes. And I, you know, I go by what I interpret the rules to be.
All right, anybody else? Anybody? All right, we're going to go ahead and close it. It's 10:01. Thank you, Matt. Thanks, everybody, for the input. All right, number 11, consider and take action to approve order adopting rules of Franklin County, Texas on-site sewage facility. Do you have a motion?
I make a motion to approve the only, to approve the adopting the rules of Franklin County for Texas on-site sewage facilities.
Okay, that's right. So, okay, got a motion and a second. Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Motion passes. Discussion items, anything, road maintenance issues or anything? Future agenda items? Welcome to jail, back there. All right.
Look forward to the record.
Got a motion and a second to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Thank y'all. All right, I'm going to start this.